The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I will come to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, So when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the Pentecost story from Acts. Do you remember the good old days? Come on, how oftentimes we sit around, oh, in the good old days we had this. And you might be thinking of something happening in your childhood. Might be something grade school, high school, college, first got married. But we talk about the good old days, and we always look back and go, oh, if life was only like that again. Because after all, in the good old days, everything was cheaper than it is now, right? I mean, come on, Coke was a nickel. Granted, you made, what, a buck? An hour, you know? But it was also safer. Remember, you could leave your house wide open, put your TV on the front lawn, nobody would steal it. Nobody ever stole anything in the good old days. Things were more joyous, more familiar. After all, in the good old days, everybody was just more religious, too. I mean, there were neighborhoods completely empty because everybody was in church. Those were the good old days, right? Am I delusional again? Yeah. You know, sometimes I wonder if the disciples, years after Pentecost, look back at Pentecost Sunday and said, those were the good old days when Peter got up there and preached and 3,000, it said, were added to their number in one day. Well, today we're going to talk about a good old day of Pentecost when things were great because of what happened. Pentecost itself is 50 days after Passover. That's why there's so many still in Jerusalem. You look through that lesson there in Acts, and it has where all these people are from. And if you actually take out a map of the ancient world, it's basically all the corners of the Roman Empire. People from around the known world at that point were there. Fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy that people from all nations would come to his holy mountain to praise him. So that's why when Peter's up there, you have all these different nationalities. Luke describes a scene for us when the day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. I'm just trying to imagine the 12 with these little fires on top of their heads. I'm just wondering if that didn't initially shock them. I guess you're bald, you don't really care if fire gets near the top of your head. But for some of us, that'd be kind of a scary proposition. But they're so filled with the Holy Spirit that this was okay because that was a sign of the presence of God. And they spoke languages that they didn't know. Hey, maybe that's the only way I could actually learn German. It would literally take the work of the Holy Spirit for me to learn that. See, y'all don't know this. In high school, you know what almost killed me in high school? Could have caused me to be a high school dropout. Was German. Terrible language. I barely passed it. I still have nightmares to this day. And every time my cat hacks up a furball, I go back to those days of horror. But everybody could understand it in their own language. All these people from all the corners of the Roman Empire could understand what Peter was saying in their own language. No one was left out. There's a passion play in Germany. It's done once every 10 years. And it's been going on for about 400 years. They've been doing this because back when the plague came through Europe, the story goes that the people gathered in the small church there and prayed to God that their town would be spared the devastating effects of the plague.
And they made a promise to God that if you spare us, we will put on, in effect, we'd call the passion play. They did the entire life of Christ in a play. And as the story goes, the town was spared the plague. It devastated the rest of Europe, but not this one town. So for 400 years, they've been doing this once every 10 years. The problem is it's all in German. Now, you get a book, 94 pages that you can follow along, but if you lose your place in the book, guess what? You got a problem. Now, we know the life of Christ. We can probably figure out quite a bit of it. But if he's teaching something and it's just words, we're not going to we wouldn't be able to understand it if we lost our place. So, my point is, if the disciples had not spoken in all these languages, they were telling the greatest story that had ever been told, but if the people couldn't understand it in their own language, what good was it? And I love it. Some people doubted the miracle. Now, let's look at it this way. Here we go. We've got 12 men with little tongues of fire on their head. Now, do you see that often? So I'm sure one guy looked at another one and says, Charlie, why do you think those blokes over there have fire on top of their heads? Well, I don't really understand why. They must be drunk. And they've got so much alcohol in them, it's filled to the top of their head, and it started a little fire. Why would you think they're drunk when they got little fires on their head? Do you ever wonder this? You've never thought of that, have you? To me, it's just, but that's the power of Satan. He can so deceive somebody that they can see something that's obviously a miracle. The little fires, they're speaking in all these languages, which is not normal. All right? They got to be drunk. Anyway, it's just one of those things that's always amazed me in that story. Why would you come up with that one? But Peter does say, he quotes from the prophet Joel, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The Holy Spirit had been given to the disciples, and then they began to tell the great story of what Christ had done for them. The story of salvation. Salvation from what? Because if we talk about being saved, you got to be saved from something. Now, yes, we are saved from sin, death, and the devil. And Christ, throughout his earthly ministry, always pointed out who the real enemy was, and that the real enemy was Satan. All these people from all these nations gathered together should not have looked at each other and said, you're the enemy, you're the enemy. No, the true enemy is Satan himself. Ephesians 2 says, we are contending not against flesh and blood, but the powers of spiritual darkness which cause me... I think I might have misquoted this, but I'm going to read what I have written. So if I'm wrong, blame Rose for not being here. We are contending not against flesh and blood, but the powers of spiritual darkness, which cause men and women to lead lives of disobedience, giving into sinful passions of the flesh. I had a typo. You know when you type a word wrong, it has a whole different meaning? You know, go figure. Who would have thought of that one? All right. That we're not contending against flesh and blood, but we're contending up against Satan. Against Satan, if we go up against Satan alone, we cannot win. We cannot break even a habit of sin without God's help. New Year's resolutions. How many of you made them last year? Last January? Y'all, some of y'all are lying here. Now, come on. You had never said, I'm going to lose weight, going to eat better food, more exercise. Thank you, Dan. I knew Dan did. Yeah, you know what? If we try that on our own power and on our own ability, how well do we succeed at those things? Fail. We're not going to break those bad habits, all right? Because on our own, we can't do it. Of the work of the Holy Spirit, a man named Tozer wrote something. I think it's kind of concise and explains, I think, well, the work of the Holy Spirit. It says, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not enthusiasm. He is not courage. He is not energy. He is not the personification of all good qualities, like Jack Frost is the personification of cold weather. Actually, the Holy Spirit is not the personification of anything. He is a person. The same as you are a person, but not having material substance. He has individuality. He is one being and not another. He has will and intelligence. He has hearing. He has knowledge and sympathy and ability to love and see and think. He can hear, speak, desire, grieve, and rejoice. He is a person, for he is God. The Holy Spirit was not a new concept to the Jews of Jesus' day or after the ascension. Because back in Genesis 1-2, already the Holy Spirit had been active. It says that the earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. The Holy Spirit had been present throughout the entire Old Testament. And now he's given the disciples the ability now to go out and proclaim the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is just not an option for the church. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that empowers us to live the Christian life. And when I'm talking about being empowered, all right? I have to tell others about Christ because it's the most important business of the church. And the Holy Spirit transforms people. Again, go back to the 12 disciples. At the crucifixion, they thought it was all over. They thought the very gift of God had been taken away from them. They have the joy of the resurrection. And then Jesus gives them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And for what purpose was the Holy Spirit sent? To make us his witnesses. And Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of the church. And you know, we Lutherans do a pretty good job of explaining justification and salvation. But we don't always talk about the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? We don't want to sound like them Pentecostals. I mean, can you trust anybody who puts their little hands in the air? Seriously, I think that's why Lutherans don't talk much about the work of the Holy Spirit, because we don't want to seem Pentecostal. We don't smile in church or say amen, because then we look Baptist. All right? We do a great job on describing justification. And Luther, when he gave the explanation to the third part of the creed, wrote this, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and preserves me in the true faith. In this Christian church, he forgives me all my sins, and on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give me eternal life to all who believe in Christ. And how does it end? This is most certainly true. See, you know you're a good Lutheran when everything ends with, and also with you, or this is most certainly true. Luther explained in that brief paragraph that I just read the work of the Holy Spirit. I cannot believe in Christ on my own power. The Holy Spirit has to call us and enlighten us with the knowledge of salvation of Christ. See, alone, if we try this on our own, we are still going to be stuck in the bondage of sin. And the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the fact that we are a slave to sin, convicts us of our own sin, but the Holy Spirit brings life. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Luther writes, "In this Christian church, the Holy Spirit daily and abundantly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers." We experience the work of Christ through the Word of God. Word of God and sacraments. That is how the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. Pentecost is very much a visual presentation that God is once again among his people. In the Old Testament, remember in the desert, they had the pillar of fire or the column of smoke that led them. That was very clear, the presence of God. When Solomon built the temple, it says the presence of God filled the temple. They could see the presence of God. And perhaps some of the saddest words in the entire Old Testament come from Ezekiel 10:18. "Then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple." Just think about that one. God withdrew his presence, his visual presence from the temple. So is God back in his temple again? Yes, because what is the temple of God now? See, you're thinking of that building over in Jerusalem, right? Or the Purple Palace, LCMS headquarters in St. Louis. No, that's not the temple. We know what the temple of God is. It comes from 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Don't you know that you are God's temple? That God's Spirit lives in you." God's presence did return because we are now the temple and he resides within us. Jesus said, "Remain in Jerusalem and wait for the gift my Father has promised. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." Yes, part of that power, as I said, is proclaiming the gospel. But we're also each empowered with different gifts. I am amazed at the different gifts that people have. I'm really amazed at daycare workers. If you all think you ever have a bad job, just go work in a daycare. Sorry, Michelle, are you here? You all are saints. All right, but we're each given different gifts. Might be wisdom, might be knowledge, might be teaching, might be that daycare worker. Maybe the gift of leadership, generosity, or encouragement. The Holy Spirit uses those gifts to proclaim Christ. I'm going to conclude today with Moses' prayer from Exodus 33. "O Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, what else will distinguish your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.